Hi, Billy Hare here, and the blog today we're going to be discussing the journal paper Integrating Early Refresher Practice in Height Safety and Rescue Training. Now this work is based on Kenneth Lawani's PhD. Kenneth is now a member of staff in the department, and he was previously one of my PhD students. So he is the main author of this particular journal paper and knows most about it. However, what I can tell you about the paper is it relates to a phenomenon known as skill decay. And the term sounds just exactly what it sounds like. It's the decay of the ability to do something if you do not practice the procedure enough. So a bit like memory decay, but applied to your ability to do something. And in this respect, it relates to the ability to undertake an emergency rescue using specific height rescue for someone who's maybe fallen or is unconscious in a harness when working at height. So as you might imagine, if you don't practice that too regularly, then eventually over time, you might forget how to actually deploy the equipment to rescue the individual who's fallen at height and is hanging in a harness. So what we wanted to do was have a look at the length of time that it might take someone before they make too many mistakes to a critical level that they could endanger the person they're trying to rescue. So the work relates to training that's delivered in accordance with the Global Wind Organization, or GWO. And that kind of gives the standards for working at height when you're working on wind farms and such like. So the training that these operatives usually undertake is repeated every 24 months, or if you like, every 2 years. So you have to ask yourself, if you're undertaking that training and that's the only point where you get to practice the emergency rescue is every 24 months and you don't get any practice in between, at what point would you have to undertake that rescue when you might forget exactly how you're supposed to undertake the various procedures as part of the rescue? Now, what you want to be able to do here is be able to undertake the rescue as it's second nature, so you don't have to think about it. And in research terms, that's the difference between declarative knowledge, having to think about it and deliberately go through the steps in your mind, to converting it to procedural knowledge, which is the second nature doing it, which usually means doing it very quickly and easily without having to think about it. Now, whilst this journal paper talks about the phenomenon in relation to emergency rescue at height, it also has applicability in previous incidents that have happened on construction sites involving MUPs, where those who needed to access and use the emergency lowering controls for the MUPs failed to do so, leading to fatalities, and also in relation to gas storage installations in the North Sea, where the journal paper gives information on that as well, where again, failure to procedurally execute the specific steps added to the problem and made the situation become worse. And these are what we might call low-frequency, high-impact emergency scenarios. So things that don't happen all that often, but when they do happen, the impact can be catastrophic, which means if you don't practice and have drills for it, in the same way you might have a fire drill, then you won't be prepared for it. And similarly, the more you practice, the more proficient you'll become at that specific activity. So bearing that in mind, the research that's reported in the journal paper used a sample of 30 wind technicians they're either first timers or they are coming back for the refresher training after previously undergone the course 2 years previous. And we looked at how well they could complete a particular task at 1 month and then 3 month intervals. There was also an opportunity to test the workers just prior to and then after, immediately after the training that they were undertaking on the day. So you had assessment before they did their training. So for some, that would be before they did the training at first, and for others, before they did the refresher training. So in theory, they would have been exposed to the methods 2 years prior. So that way we could assess whether they remembered how to undertake the emergency rescue that they'd learned 2 years previously for those doing the refresher. But obviously for those who undergone the training for the first time, it would be completely new to them. The assessment itself was a combination of physical hands-on whilst they were there at the training facility and simulation assessment using mostly knowledge tests and asking the workers, the technicians, if they could replicate the procedures required for the emergency rescue. So in research terms, this used what's called a job knowledge test, or JKT, and the hands-on observations is referred to as a situational judgment test, or SJT. And the content of these tests and assessments were based purely on the training that's delivered on the 2 year course, included the procedures that are conveyed to the technicians, including the safe systems of work and the risk assessment control methods put in place. So it was quite closely aligned to what you would expect as part of the training that they receive every 2 years. So the findings, first of all, if we look at those workers who had previously undertaken the training 2 years earlier or 24 months earlier, when they were assessed, it was pretty unanimous that virtually all of them had lost the ability to undertake the rescue that they had been trained in to do 2 years earlier. So that finding alone would indicate that workers really need some mandatory practice training in between the 2 year period which they receive the formal training. What remains to be answered then, that we'll look at in the rest of the findings here, is to at what point in time should they have such mandatory interim training or assessment. So in this respect, the assessment found that as far as the knowledge of the workers is concerned, it takes a drop after 1 month, but then a slightly more gradual decline after 3 months, but not enough to dip below the level that we set in terms of being critical. But that leads us into a false sense of security, because just because the workers passed the knowledge test does not necessarily mean they would pass the skills test. And indeed, when we ran the same skills tests at 1 month and 3 months, we found that indeed the knowing is not the same as doing, and they fell below the 70% critical criteria that we set, and therefore deemed to be unsafe if they, for example, had an emergency scenario as part of the working day. So at 1 month, quite a drop, because they've not actually implemented what they've learned in the training for real or at the site. And then a more gradual, but by that point still below the 70% threshold after the 3 months. This can also be due, or it can also be linked to slight changes in what happens in the real world compared to the training environment that you need to also take account of. So it might be, for example, slightly different equipment or a new upgrade to the equipment that was used during the training course. Therefore, this also reinforces the need for any testing and assessment during actual use to be undertaken at least 1 month after the training session, and then quarterly or every 3 months thereafter, intermediately between then and the next formal 2 year assessment. So this naturally leads to discussion on, well, what can we practically do as a result of this finding? Ideally, you'd want to do what they do in other high-risk areas, such as petrochem and offshore oil and gas. And that would be a physical practice drill with the equipment. What we found, though, is that the wind industry in particular is reluctant to that, and they blame the cost of doing such practice drills because this equipment is usually in a sealed bag, and if it's deployed for training purposes, then it needs to be recalibrated. And as you can imagine, there's a cost implication for that. So what we've tried to recommend in this work and in others that we've done is the development of a digital, and that could be virtual reality or augmented reality practices that the workers could undertake. And what we would recommend is you immediately have a practice, regardless of whether you are a fresher or refresher on the training course. Immediately 1 month after, you have a practice, and this could be a virtual reality practice using digital technology 1 month after, or 4 weeks based on the results that we found. And then thereafter, every 3 months, that you log on and you do a practice test. And that's not the same as a knowledge test, but you physically have to, on the screen, for example, if it's a handheld device, or it could be through more sophisticated virtual reality systems, where you actually need to walk through each of the steps and the safety critical steps to demonstrate that you know how to use it. Because if the first time you're actually engaged in a real life scenario, life and death scenario, and you've never ran through a practice drills on a regular basis, then you can take it from me, you will fail. You will either freeze, or you will forget, or you will put it in the wrong sequence, and that's a recipe for catastrophe. So I hope you've enjoyed listening to this little blog. It has obviously a serious note for work at height and rescue at height, and we do hope that these findings are wider than just wind turbine technicians. It's got applications for things like scaffolding, crane erection, and other high-risk activities involved in construction, which at this moment in time is not really being addressed in the industry, and we hope that through time it will be.